Thank you all so much for coming to this 10th session of Best Practices for Campus Ministry. This month we'll be hearing from Dana Reagan, who's the Credential Director of Religious Education at the First Unitarian Church of Portland, Oregon, and she'll be talking about campus ministry for a cluster. And I'm going to hand it over to Dana, who has an opening reading she'd like to share with us.
Okay. So this is from Macrina Viderkure, and it's from A Tree Full of Angels. I must share with you a story about a particularly barren time in my life when I used a tree for a spiritual director. I learned so much that year because I listened in silence. Because it was small, I couldn't lean on it, but could only sit beside it. That taught me a lot about the role of spiritual guide should be. Even though it was small, it had the ability to give me a certain amount of shade. You don't have to have a lot of leaves to give shade. Because it was silent, I listened deeply. You don't need a lot of words to connect with God. When it got thirsty, I watered it. The miracle of water is a little like the miracle of God's love. That little sycamore taught me a lot about foot washing. Watering it was a great joy. A soul-friend relationship never works only one way. There is a mutual giving and receiving. I learned from my tree that being transplanted is possible. I can always put down roots again, connect with the great root, and grow on. I wouldn't recommend using a tree for a spiritual guide all the days of one's life, but that sycamore got me through a long stretch of barrenness. It was only a little tree, and I didn't know it was holy until I spent time with it. Truly, holiness comes wrapped in the ordinary.
Thank you so much, Dana. Now, after that centering of our spirits, I will center us in this technology that we're using today. And you folks who are listening later obviously don't need to worry about this, but for the folks on the call now, you can press *6 to mute and *6 to unmute. A free conference call every once in a while will drop people. It does not mean we do not want you on the call. We do. So just call right back in and we will join with you. And I think all the folks who are on the call live right now have actually been a part of this, but you can see there's a video in the top right-hand screen, our main section with the PowerPoint, and then a chat feature on the bottom of the screen. And I am Kayla Parker, the Campus Ministry Associate at Unitarian Universalist Association headquarters, and we already introduced Dana, and I'm now going to have other folks on the call introduce yourself. So if AJ, you can do that again, that would be awesome.
Yeah, this is AJ Bennett. I'm president of the Campus Ministry Group, acronym FOCUS, at Christopher Newport University in Newport News, Virginia. I suppose that makes me a lay student leader. The full unpacking of that acronym is Fellowship of Campus Unitarian Universalist Students. We are in the Southeast District. And where do I find inspiration or
solace?
I think either in community or in meditation, which are kind of, I guess, opposites in some ways, but usually just doing being in UU community or leading it, or that kind of thing is really what centers me. That we have our weekly meetings, and that's really important to me. I'm always pretty centered after those.
That's good. That's really good for me to hear that campus ministry is working exactly the way I think it should, which is to provide a resource and support and a bridge between your high school years and your upcoming adult years. So, good to hear. And Kayla, did you want to check in about inspiration since there's only three of us?
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing that came to my mind was going on a run. I'm a person who has to be very active, so oftentimes my mind can only really settle when my body is moving fairly quickly. So definitely running and sometimes meditation, especially if it directly follows a run. And then, like AJ was saying, definitely being in community and specifically for me, that's either in a larger congregational community or when I'm with a smaller group of friends. And if you want to, you know, go ahead and do that check-in too, that would be great, Dana.
Okay. For me, I do like to be moving in order to find inspiration or solace, but for me it's a little bit... might be a little bit slower. Like if I'm walking the dogs, my brain gets centered and becomes very present because dogs are just so spontaneous that when you're walking them, you have to be very focused. And in that focus, it frees your mind up. And I also enjoy... water, some kind of water, whether it's a lake or a river or a creek or some sort of water just to stare into, fills me up. So,
yeah, that's great.
Ah, okay. So, can we...
Yeah, so you now are able to click the slides right above where we're seeing the PowerPoint. There should be a little arrow that can point you right.
And
if you prefer, I can do that as well. I can take back the power.
Yeah, I can't find the power, so maybe you could do it.
Great. And this will be good because then folks who are listening recorded, when you say change the slide, folks will know to move to the next slide.
Good. So change the slide. Okay. So we began meeting in a little coffee shop in 1998, actually. I went back in my notes to double check. It says 2000, and that's when we had our first event, but... three or four of us met for about a year and a half to kind of envision how we wanted this to work. We had a young man that perhaps you know or have heard of, who's now a reverend, Joseph Santos Lyons, and he grew up in this district, and he was very active as a youth. While he was on campus at various campuses across the U.S., and also as a young adult. And so he gathered together some folks that he knew while he was growing up, and we started having a vision of how we could connect all of our churches, and there are 8 UU churches here in the Portland area, with... all of the campuses. And right from the very beginning, we had enough interest for 3 congregations and students on 3 campuses. And so we began to talk about how this might work. And the first thing we did, before we even figured out exactly how the model might work, was we decided to have a big event that would call attention to campus ministry. And Joseph knew about a grant from the Billings Fund for bringing in various speakers, well-known speakers. And so we decided to see if we could invite Reverend William Schultz, who at that time was president of Amnesty International, and he was already at that point a former UUA president. So we applied for the grant, and we talked to Reverend Schultz's to Reverend Schultz and invited him to come and speak about Amnesty International to Portland State University, which happens to be just about 6 blocks from where First Unitarian Church was. And so I talked to the ministers at First Unitarian Church, and in addition to his speaking, we also invited him to come and preach at the church. The church offered to pass a collection basket around so that we could add to the funds. We had students at Portland State who were in our group who allowed us to reserve the room for free. And things just started falling together. The event was very successful. William Schultz is a fabulous speaker, and he's very passionate. And he was anxious to get information out about Amnesty International and to talk about his connections to Unitarian Universalism. And that really inspired people from the congregations who were interested in connecting with student campuses. And we started to have a little bit of a group. We started off with, as I said, 3 congregations and 3 campuses. So, and we've continued to work with those 3 campuses, although there's been some outreach to a 4th campus at various times, and we're hoping that that will happen someday. But right now we're working with Portland State University, Lewis and Clark University, and Reed College. As soon as we had that part figured out, we needed to figure out what our model was going to be and where we could get sources of money, because part of our model included a stipend for campus coordinators, and that also included budget money for their program. So, the
and Dana,
Unitarian...
just a quick clarification question.
Yes.
Who were those campus coordinators? What are their profiles?
They were students on campus who had been UUs in high school and were interested in taking a leadership role on campus.
Okay,
does that
cool.
help?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, AJ, I forgot to say, I'm just going to have a couple of asides here. One, I have a couple of little dogs in my office, and I've asked them to behave, but if you hear barking, it's because there's dogs in my office. And second, I can't remember what the second thing was, but when I think of it, I'll say it. So we wrote for a grant from the Young Adult Campus Ministry office, and we got 2 grants, actually, that were each 2 years apart, plus we had some monies left over from the Billings Fund. And that carried us for probably 5 or 6 years. We made that money last between the 3 campuses. And then finally, we wrote for a 5-year grant, which was a graduated grant. That meant that one of the churches needed to assume the budget for the young adult or the campus ministry program once the grant was over, and First Church agreed to do that. So that was kind of basically how that all kind of happened. The way we organized was that there would be a campus coordinator at each campus of the 3 campuses. and those coordinators were responsible for leading a program. Either we've done all different kinds of programs, whether it's once a week, once every other week, usually a combination of something like that, where they hold a meeting on campus at the convenience of the students who are joining. They have individual listservs for the people that they that are on their campuses, and those aren't shared with the whole region. The coordinators are responsible for that. The three churches, the ministers, agreed to do pastoral care for those campus students, and a representative from each of the sponsoring congregations meets with the students usually once a month during the school year, just to support each other, share resources, and continue the system. We have job descriptions. We have a mission statement, and I can put all of these notes up online so that you don't have to write down what these things are. But if you're interested, they will be posted. Let's see. What makes the model work so well is that it respects each of the different cultures and traditions on each of the campuses. I'm sure that all campuses are like the three that I work with. They all have their own particular ways of doing things and challenges to work within the system and benefits. And so we have to, the coordinators work within each of those cultures and are also responsible for making sure that they pass their job along to a student who agrees to continue the work. This allows students from each of the different campuses to connect with one another and share their viewpoints, and also connects them to a congregation so that they can, like in one case, there's an annual campus ministry-led service annually. Not all churches do that, but the one church that does do that loves having that service each year. It keeps the group going. It allows even the people who don't come to the meetings to be connected weekly with the notes that go out from people that they know they could connect with if they needed to.
Thanks, Dana. And I see AJ has his hand raised, so I'm going to give him the opportunity to ask a question now, if that's cool.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah, you're just talking about passing off the facilitators passing off their role to another student.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if there were ever any issues with that, because I know at least the history of my school, that was what happened when I showed up. There was no campus ministry, although there had been the previous year, but the president went on a study abroad trip for the spring semester, and when she came back, there was no leadership had sort of dissolved, so I had to start from the ground up again. I was just wondering what sort of practice was in place if the student was unable to find someone to take charge once they graduated, or whatever the case may be.
Well, that's one of the ways that the congregational representative can help with with campus ministry because they can stay connected to whoever's in charge of campus ministry. By that I mean the campus connection. I'm not saying this right. Like the chaplain or the dean of religious studies or whatever, whoever's in charge of it. So if the the non-student representative stays in touch with the campus so that the campus is aware that we're still want to maintain our connections with the school, that's one way that we've done it. Plus, we've tried to stay in, you know, usually it's a senior, in our system, usually it's a senior who is the leader, although we have had various different grade levels be leaders, but usually it's a senior, and they've come in as a freshman or a sophomore, and so they've had a couple years to kind of watch the model work and attend meetings, and they've come out to dinner with us, and the conversation is always, now what are you doing next semester? Do you have somebody in place to take your place while you are out of the country? So we try to stay really connected to that as adults, too. Does that help?
Yeah. No, that's good.
It's actually in their job description. They are responsible for finding their replacement. So
the youth?
The student. Yeah, the
student.
Campus coordinator. Yeah.
Right.
I just don't see any other way to do that.
Yeah. No, I definitely think it should be the student's responsibility. But
good.
I'm just concerned of, I mean, it's sort of always the trouble or a difficulty with schools who have a four-year overturn. If that doesn't happen, then, but then, like you said, that's what the congregations and adult leader or adult sort of connections are there as sort of the backup.
Right.
That if nothing else, then they'll be able to maintain that connection and find someone new. So, but yes, like you say, if there's a strong enough group going, I think part of the trouble seeing you had was that it wasn't a very large group. Not that they weren't well organized, but just it wasn't quite as established enough to survive whatever it was that happened exactly. So, like you say, once there's a steady stream of UU freshmen joining and seeing the leadership all 3 years, and then as seniors becoming taking that leadership position, it's hard to see how that would really completely fail for any reason.
Well, I do have to say, though, that sometimes we have had one of the campuses or another just without a coordinator. And so since 1990, well, let's say 2000, so this has been going for 12 years, and it's not, and it is realistic to expect that sometimes there's not going to be somebody who wants to take the leadership, whether or not they're UU. You know, but yet the system can still work. It can still work really well as long as there's a support in place, and that support system is willing to stay connected to the campuses. And as long, I found, as the adult calling campuses, when there hasn't been a student willing to be a leader, that as long as I let the campus know that I'm here, that we're still interested in making a connection, and I don't ask for any sort of personal information, that they're really willing to work with us. The people in the religious programs want these connections to be maintained, no matter which religion they're from. So I found that to be very supportive, too.
Cool.
We should go to the next slide. Okay. So just some other things that we have done during the last 12 years. First Church did apply to be an anchor congregation and is one. And I'm going to let Kayla talk about that because evidently there's going to be some changes coming up with that particular designation. In 2007, General Assembly was here in Portland, and our regional group did a presentation at General Assembly, which was very interesting. I mean, we had a room full of people. I was amazed at how popular it was. Really, it was great to see so much support and so many people interested in beginning campus ministry programs close by to their churches. So that was really, really very affirming for all of us. We had about, I think there were about seven of us on the panel, and we did it as a panel presentation. So that worked out very well. And then last year, we one of our students asked if she could have OWL classes on campus during a like a January session. So we got OWL facilitators out there, and they held two-hour classes, and both classes were filled. They were open to the entire campus and to the other college campuses that we are connected with through this cluster. The students were very engaged and quite eager for all of the information, and so I really think this is a wonderful way for us to bring more information about our faith to college campuses by offering OWL classes on campus. Let's see. Also, each of the campuses works quite closely with interfaith groups on campuses. So mostly with non-Christian affiliated religions, but in some cases there are some Christian interfaith groups that they work with too. They do this by participating in community service events or social action events, which I think is a great way to connect all of these faith denominations together. So, time for questions. How did your campus ministry program, I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but did you want to talk a little bit more?
Yeah, I can elaborate some, I suppose. I mean, when I showed up, there just wasn't anything. So I, but there's a church about 10 minutes away. So I was able to go there and get plugged in there and start talking about starting up campus ministry again. And I guess I was just collecting resources and figuring out exactly how I would go about things. Because actually, the paperwork in the office was still the as a school, was still the old officer's information, so I had to meet with them and get some things from them, and then have myself recognized as the new president of the group, so that I could then use school resources and to advertise events and do things. And the first thing that I did was I just got a few adults from the congregation, the previous campus ministry president, the minister, and one of the a professor from the school who is also a Unitarian Universalist. And I had a panel on what is Unitarian Universalism and advertised that a bit. And it was very lightly attended, but I was able to get a few people who were interested in it. The idea was to see if, because I didn't know if there were other UUs on campus. And I think the best way to do it was just to have some sort of UU event or interest thing, and also see if there was anyone who had sort of heard of UUism but wanted to know more. So it ended up being sort of just a small informal discussion. But I got a few people, and we met a couple times at the end of the spring semester last year. And then at the beginning of this year, we just started having weekly fellowship meetings with a check-in, which for me is like the most important thing, that if we do nothing else, then I make sure that we meet once a week and have a space for check-in. Certainly that's, as I said, one of the things that's important for me, but I think for a lot of the other people and college students in general. Can everyone still hear me? Hello?
I can still hear you. Oh. I think Dana might have muted herself. I saw you move your mouth, but star 6 will unmute you.
Oh, okay.
Hi. Sorry, I had to mute for just a moment for some office stuff.
Oh, that's fine. So I just heard noises and was confused. What was I saying? And so then we'd have some sort of topic, a reading, and then like a discussion on a topic. And as the semester progressed, we started getting more and more people. So it's basically where we here are nearing the end of our this first year of revival. The minister asked us to do a service at the local fellowship. That's a local congregation. So that's sort of one of the things that's been mostly occupying our resources and efforts. And unfortunately, we just haven't quite had the time or manpower to person power to do other events like something social justice or even more social events. The only thing we did was got together and watched a movie, which was good, but we want to be doing more of that. But considering where we were coming from, we're in a pretty good place. The main thing is our next meeting is actually our elections and planning for next year, so this is definitely good discussion for helping to figure out exactly how we want to do things next year. And like I mentioned, a personal plan for me is to see about connecting with campus ministry at other local colleges. We haven't used grants yet. I'm sure if we came up with a good project, we would not hesitate to apply for a grant, but I guess the plan so far, or the process, has mostly just been like any other sort of club or group. We've just had meetings and advertised them and gotten people coming. So it's just a matter of growing. And I do know that of some freshmen who will be coming in, I guess rising college freshmen for next year, and so we should definitely grow a little bit quickly in the very beginning of the fall semester, and then get people. There's always a steady trickle of visitors. So
good. One of the things that has become a tradition here, which might be an idea for you, is that we have a senior luncheon for here at church, and I mean for the kids in the cluster churches, and the campus ministry coordinators come to that lunch and they talk about campus ministry, and it doesn't matter whether or not these kids are going to stay in the Portland area. It's just so that they can know that this is happening all across the United States, and they can make that connection if they want to. So, maybe for you guys, just making a connection with the high school students at your local church, just to let them know about campus ministry, whether or not they go to that university or not, just kind of help spread the word.
Yeah, that is definitely a good idea.
And so can you imagine, or do you have some thoughts in mind for how you might create a regional or multi-campus program in that area? You talked a little bit about it at the beginning.
Yeah.
I want to jump in really quickly because I think someone else might have joined the call a little while ago. Is that correct? Okay, Doug. Well, I think you probably know that we're talking about campus ministry for a cluster, so we'll let AJ answer this question, and then you should feel free to jump in if you'd like.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I definitely could imagine that, and I'm actually, it seems more like it would be more similar to what you were describing than what I thought you might be describing, because, of course, Portland is a city, and where I am is more of a suburban flavor, certainly in terms of the colleges that are in the area. But what I was saying is that CNU is sort of in the middle of a collection of three state universities, and a little way in one direction on the interstate is William & Mary, which has a fairly strong campus UU group currently, and in the other direction is Old Dominion University, which, as far as I know, has no campus ministry, but I do know a few people will be there next year, and I will be bothering them about that. They're both about a half hour away from Christopher Newport University, where I am, although maybe that means that CNU would be the logical meet-up place for if all three of us were together for something. And, of course, there are other colleges in the area. I know of a couple down in Norfolk where ODU is. I'm not sure what other college might be closest to CNU or Williamsburg, or in Williamsburg near William & Mary. But I think at least for starting, it would make sense to start with the state school, since that's sort of where most people end up, and there's generally more connections there anyway. But it sounds like it would sound pretty similar to yours, especially if we were able to work with getting all of the three congregations, because there's Williamsburg, Newport News, and Norfolk congregations. And there's little, I don't see any particular reason why they wouldn't be able to pool resources similarly and employ a similar model for fostering campus ministry together. I guess the main thing I was thinking is just doing programs, not just sort of pooling resources and supporting together, but also having like the campus ministry at my group host something, or William & Mary host something, and all the campus ministry students go to that one college for an event or for something. So.
And can I ask you a question? Do we have time, Kayla?
Definitely.
Okay. So are your campuses residential or commuter?
I know CNU is most residential. William & Mary is as well. I'm pretty sure ODU is also residential. So, yeah.
Yeah. Generally, I think this works for both kinds, but generally I think it works better for residential campuses, because it's easy for you to make the connections and for kids to get away just right there on campus to have a check-in with each other and give each other support at the very least, like you say.
Yeah. Although one member of our circle is a commuter student, but he manages to make that work. So,
so it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Well, Doug, did you want to introduce yourself?
This is Doug Jones from Urbana, Illinois. I'm at the University of Illinois. I'm attending the Murray Foundation, which is a Unitarian Universalist campus center. The only one, actually, the denomination actually has a building. The University of Illinois had both built.
Doug, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you because you're really breaking up here.
I'm breaking up? Okay, yeah. Let me see if I can. I've been having trouble with my cell service at my home.
I think that sounds a lot better. And as you're playing with that, I'll just read the questions that are online here, because I know you're not online. So, you know, a general introduction so that folks can know who you are. Then the question is, can you imagine a regional or multi-campus program in your community, and how might that work? Because Dana just talked a little bit about the program in Portland, Oregon, where there are different congregations serving three different campus ministries and doing outreach now to a fourth one as well.
Okay. That is Dana that's with us, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've attended workshops with Dana at General Assembly, and I'm very impressed by the things going on in the Portland area. They do a good job of cooperation. I think Dana may have actually attended a workshop that I co-led on regional campus centers at General Assembly, I believe it was 2007. Dana, were you there?
Yes, I was. I was leading it. I was on the panel.
Well,
I was on the panel.
Right, there was a panel discussion, but there was also one that was by Joseph Santos Lyons, myself, and another gentleman, David Gross, at that GA as well.
Right.
And then the following year, we had a follow-up with Laura Beth Brown from Shelter Rock and myself on regional campus centers.
Yeah.
There's been a fair amount of work done. We actually got a grant from the UUA funding program to work on regional campus ministry and contact all of the UU young adults of a campus age in the Central Midwest District. Unfortunately, we ran into some rather significant institutional challenges. The UUA would not grant us access to any information in Connect UU. So, unfortunately, we ended up spending a lot of our effort doing very grassroots trying to find people, as opposed to taking the base of 1,200 identified young adults in Central Midwest District and working with them. We ended up spending our time trying to find young adults. But having said that, the concept of having a regional resource that is of service to everyone in the region, I think, makes a lot of sense. I think we've learned that it being done at a single large congregation is one model that has merit and can work, but that in a lot of places we need to find something that is extra congregational to do that. And I think Portland has shown a good example of how multiple churches can come together to form a regional effort. And there's other examples in the country as well. But I think there's a strong desire for our campus-aged UU young adults to connect with each other, and we just need to find ways of being more supportive and sharing information better.
Good. Thank you. I was not aware that it was difficult to get information from the UUA, like when you're starting from scratch like that. So might be something that we can work on.
I think it may have been rectified, but we put in a request to get access to Connect UU's data, and it took 7 weeks to get a no answer, which was pretty amazing.
This is Kayla. I had not heard that story, and we can definitely, you know, I'd love to hear more about that at a later time, sometime for sure. And I also want to be conscious that we don't have too much more time, and I want to give folks the space to ask Dana or each other other questions about her model or about your models.
Well, I'd be very willing to share the slide presentation from the General Assembly workshops we did that kind of go through laying out a plan for
how to come up with regional campus centers. And as I said, that there was a follow-up where we actually had a meeting in Metro New York at Shelter Rock with multiple congregations involved, and it was discussing the needs in an urban environment as opposed to residential university environment, which are similar but very different in some ways. So I think we need multiple models of regional campus ministry to address the different needs of different types of regions.
Yeah, AJ, Doug, could you, I guess, clarify what you mean by regional campus ministry center? Because I'm not entirely sure on that, and mentioning region, it sounds, I'm not sure if you mean things like districts or just like say the Portland metro area or the New York metro area would be one region kind of thing. Like, I'm just not sure exactly what that is or how these centers manifest, whether it's just a network of campus ministry leaders or people who are talking, or if it's like a physical location, or what's the exact manifest?
Well, it's just, Jay, in all honesty, at this point it's more conceptual than actual, okay? But the idea that we put forth, that we presented, was if we pooled our resources and created centers that served regional areas, bigger than districts, in some ways, smaller than districts in some ways, approximately 50 regions across the country. And if those regional resources had a full-time staff member of a ministerial persuasion and a full-time staff member of a administrative persuasion, would have 100 full-time staffers across the country supporting people and making it very locally, regionally focused. So, if, for instance, Urbana-Champaign would support everyone in the state of Illinois and connect them with their local group. The idea was is that we need to get into campus communities. We need to be focused on the young adults where they are and what they're doing. That getting them to come to our congregations is a wonderful, but it's not really the primary thing that most of them are looking for. They're looking for someone to support a weekly young adult group meeting at their residential college or at a center in their urban environment that's easy to get to via mass transit. So the concept was to have resources that were focused on a geographical area, and on the East Coast they're going to be much smaller than in the Midwest or the West, but on a geographical area, and to really facilitate the development of leaders within congregations to support campus ministry, development of leaders on campuses, integration with the small group ministry network, integration with Lareda for making transitions and supporting bridging. So a large vision for doing campus ministry in a much different way than we've ever done it in the past.
Cool. Thanks. That definitely explains what I was confused about. So yeah, I thought it was very good. And yeah.
Well, I will forward on to Kayla, and she can forward it on to the people appropriate unless the information comes out. I've written a one-page white paper that kind of lays out, and then there's the PowerPoint presentation that goes behind it, and then there were two workshops in successive years. And then quite honestly, we just ran into structural changes, the UUA, resistance to information sharing, and quite honestly, I got involved in doing some other things. So I'm glad to hear the conversation. As I said, I really appreciate the work that Dana is doing in her area. I think there's several excellent examples of multi-congregational cooperation.
Thank you, Doug. Do either of you have any other questions? Okay, so I think we can go to the benediction or the closing. And I'll just read through this. Because of those who came before, we are. In spite of their failings, we believe. Because of and in spite of the horizons of their vision, we too dream. Let us go, remembering to praise, to live in the moment, to love mightily, to bow to the mystery. And thank you all for joining us and for contributing to this conversation.